So we are on a series called Upside Down, and we're talking about how the Holy Spirit can help us turn our world upside down. And so we've been really taking a lot of the truths and the principles that we've been sharing in this series from the book of Acts. And why is it so important? How did these 12 disciples, how did they literally change and turn the world upside down? They did it with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how they did it. You know, sometimes when we face just difficult situations and we think, oh, there's just not enough, there's just not, you know, God makes up the difference. God and you are a majority. And so when you understand the greater one lives on the inside of you and that he comes upon you, it changes everything. And so we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in this series and how much it is important for us as New Testament believers, as believers of in the plan of God of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled to overflowing. We said that that word in the Greek, the baptize, actually means to be so full of God that you are overwhelmed, that you're overwhelmed with the presence of God. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that there are times that you go through your Christian life and it might seem a little dry. Anybody here could wave your hand and say, yeah, that's me, that's been me before, right? But when we understand that God has an amazing plan to not only fill us, but to refill us and to keep us refreshed. Let's go ahead and pray as we get into this. Father, we thank you for helping us to see truths from the Word of God, Lord, that will change our circumstances, that will change the dynamic and the atmosphere of where we find ourselves. Father, I thank you that it will change even homes and marriages and children's relationships and adult children's relationships. Father, I thank you that the Holy Ghost will make us smart and the Holy Ghost will lead and direct us and give us insight. We thank you, Father God, for giving us supernatural wisdom as we follow your plan in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, last week I told you a couple of things that that actually the Holy Spirit helps us do. And often we don't always remember some of these things. But the Holy Spirit helps us by giving us insight into so many things. I mean, he helps us. And we see this in the book of Acts. All through the book of Acts, we see some amazing truths that help us. And let me just go ahead and go to my notes right here. Praise God. If the disciples were, if they actually were able to turn their world upside down, then how are we going to turn our world upside down? I believe that there is insight into how to do that from the scriptures. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Well, number one, we know that the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks. We see that in the book of Acts. He is a he. He's not an it. He is the ignored member, part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And most people are more ignorant of the Holy Spirit than they are. I mean, they're easily talk about God, easily talk about Jesus. But for some reason, we get a little bit weird, and people think we're talking about Casper the Friendly Ghost. And part of that is through translation, the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost have been used as terms to describe the pneuma, the wind of God. And so when we understand that, we understand that it's not strange, it's not weird, right? We can talk about the Holy Spirit. He is a member of the Godhead. And I'm calling him he speaks. And the second thing that he does is that he, go ahead, next slide, please. He directs believers to a particular place or location. He directs believers to a particular place or location. We know when the Apostle Paul was directed to go to a specific place. We know that God directs people and can give even an address. Did you know God can give you an address?
Mm-hmm.
He can speak to you that specifically. Now, you say, oh, but that was the disciples, Pastor Doug. That went out when the disciples passed away. God doesn't do that anymore. Really, he doesn't. I know several testimonies of some amazing men of God that have literally done exactly what God told them to do. One gentleman currently, he lives in the Philippines, and he's been there for over 30 years. I think close to 40 now. And God just spoke to him after Bible school, told him, go to Philippines. He had enough money for the plane ticket, and that was it. And it was a one-way flight. He had nothing else. And today he is in charge of, I believe it's 4 Bible schools and pastors a church of about 2,000 or 3,000 people. And he listened to God. God told him to get on an airplane and go to the Philippines. God will do that, you know. If you're listening, he'll turn your world upside down too. You know, I told you last week that a brother Adam, brother Adam's son, literally God turned his son's world upside down. He was on a scholarship to go to for computer engineering, and literally weeks before he was supposed to leave, God spoke to him in a youth camp setting, specifically told him to go to Bible school. He went to Bible school. He literally gave up a scholarship, gave up so many different things, but he was talented in computers. And guess what? By the end of his 2 years at Bible school, he was working for the ministry in the computer lab, doing all kinds of IT work for them. Didn't go to school for it, but was getting paid just like as if he did. And then he left there and went and became an associate pastor. And today he's serving in a church in Colorado with his wife, whom he met at Bible school. So sometimes you just got to listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll make you smart, right? He'll make you smart. And so if you never felt like you were the smart kid in school, he will make you smart beyond what you could have ever done on an SAT or an ACT. He will make you smart. And so the Holy Spirit, he does that. So some of the other things that we talked about last week that he does, he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. The next slide, please. He will confirm the gospel being preached with signs and wonders and miracles following the preaching of the gospel. The number one miracle, of course, is that somebody gets to be born again. The new birth. There is nothing like it when somebody is literally transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's just one of the awesome miracles of the plan of God. I'm reminded as a kid sitting in my grandparents' apartment in North Palm Beach, Florida, and watching Billy Graham give an invitation on TV. And this memory just came back to me just recently, and it flooded my mind of him giving the invitation for people to come and to be born again. And this entire stadium just started. The aisles started moving, and just hundreds and hundreds of people coming to the front to give their life to Christ, to be born again. And I thought to myself, that's an amazing confirmation of when the good news of Jesus is preached. And then the next thing that the Holy Spirit does that we said, he helps in making decisions. If you need help in decisions in your life, the Holy Ghost will help you make a decision. And some people might say, well, are you racked by indecision? Oh, I don't know. Am I? That's supposed to be a joke. So, are you racked by indecision? Well, the Holy Ghost will help you make a decision. Sometimes we vacillate between two things. I could do this, or I could do this. If we'll just be quiet, the Holy Ghost will tell us what we need to do. And you'll just follow that inward peace, that inward peace. You know, sometimes those things, we don't talk about them as much because What happens is we think that that's just for the super spiritual people. That's just for super spiritual people. You know, those that are close to God. Have you ever heard that term? When I was a kid, you know, I remember asking somebody, I said, so what's this speaking in tongues thing? And I think it was my one of my family members said to me, they said, well, that's for people who are really close to God. And I thought to myself, oh, well, how do you get close to God? And so these were questions that I was asking as a boy. And then eventually when I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, it changed my life and it turned my world upside down as well. The next thing that the Holy Ghost will help you do is he'll give you visions. He'll give you visions. And sometimes we think of these visions like they're spectacular. They're like, you know, like we have to be caught in some trance. But do you know, God will give you a vision. He'll give you a desire of your heart, or sometimes he'll give you just an inkling of what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to see. He'll just kind of give you an inkling of it. You'll just have like a you'll be praying and all of a sudden the image will come up and, oh, I wonder what that's all about. And then you just keep praying. If you'll pray through, as the old time Pentecostals say, you'll get clarity and you'll know what the Lord is wanting you to do in that. And then the other thing he'll do, he'll give you dreams. He'll give you dreams. We read in Joel chapter 2 last week that young men will dream dreams. They'll dream dreams. And sometimes those dreams are spiritual. And I said this last week. Sometimes it's because you ate too much pizza. You'll know the difference. If you stay in the Word and stay close to the Lord, you will know the difference. And then the next thing that he'll do, he'll enable you to speak in supernatural ways. What do you mean? Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural gift. First time I ever heard it as a Baptist boy, it about freaked me out. I wanted to run. I thought, what is this? Now, you got to understand, I got saved literally months after the Jim Jones cultic thing that happened down in South America, where all those people committed mass suicide. And it was one of those things where I didn't know what to think, you know, because some people were telling me that I was getting involved in a cult. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And so I began to do my own research. I began to read and learn more about the Holy Spirit. And I realized, wait a second, this is of God and I want it. And so I just began to ask the Lord. And I ended up, you've heard me tell the story, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at a teenage Bible study run by an Episcopalian FBI agent. And it just changed my life. It turned my world upside down. The next thing the Holy Ghost will let you do, not only speak supernaturally, is that he will give you power. Now, we didn't talk about that too much last week, but he will empower you to preach the gospel. He'll empower. He'll give you boldness. Now, we mentioned Peter's transformation from the guy quivering and denying that he even knew the Lord to the end of Acts chapter 2, getting up in front. And as we said, historians tell us he got up in front of the temple, the steps of the temple, and began to preach. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That had a lot to do with the fact that he hung out with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, for 40 days. And Jesus opened the scriptures to him. There was a transformative thing that happened in his life. He was able to point back to the Old Testament and say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He was able to confirm that. And he was able to just literally preach the gospel. It said 3,000 people got saved that day. 3,000 people in one shot. The Holy Spirit will empower you, even if you're not a preacher, to share the gospel. There have been moments in our life, Pastor Christine and I, even moments where the enemy came and tried to discourage us and something happened. I remember one time we got in a terrible car accident on Interstate 84 in Scranton, Pennsylvania, with an ice storm. And we were like thanking God that we were supernaturally protected. But when the tow truck driver took us to our hotel, the Holy Spirit began to fall. He began to fall in the tow truck. And we began to talk to the tow truck driver. And you know what we did? You got it. We led that tow truck driver to the Lord. We're like, devil, you are not winning. You tried to take us out, you're not winning. And the devil lost another one. And see, that's the power of the gospel coming on you. And you can sense him coming on you. As I said to you in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on the disciples in his resurrected body. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But yet he still told them to wait for the promise. So there's two separate things going on here. You see, the new birth is one thing, but being filled with power from on high is a second experience with God. Now you're there over in Acts, because that's where I told you I was going to be. In Acts chapter 3, we're going to go ahead and look at Acts chapter 3. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're going to see in verse 1. Now, remember, last week we talked to you about the characteristics of that early church. That at the end of Acts chapter 2, what did they do? They broke bread, which means that they had communion together. They had fellowship, that means sharing life, communion, that is intricate life together. They shared life together. That means not everything was hunky-dory all the time, right? Sometimes we go through difficulty. We need brothers and sisters and the space of community. I like what my wife says. She says, sometimes Christians need to just sit in each other's pain. And not that they take it on and wallow in the molly grubs, but sometimes we need to, when somebody is hurting, literally be there while they're hurting, not try to fix them, not try to correct everything that they're believing at that moment, but literally to sit with them in that moment of pain to bring the healing and the faith and the hope that you need to be able to bring. And that's called Christian community. That's why you need a local church. That's why you need to be in community where you share your life one with another. It's not just to make the church look good. You understand what I'm saying? There is a purpose behind us being together. It is to encourage one another. Hallelujah. And we are the most encouraging church that you've ever seen. That's one of the things God put in my heart, that this year, we're just about just doing that. It's not even what we're going to do, it's what we are doing. We are that encouraging church, amen? And so look at what verse 1 says. Now, all of this has taken place. They continued in the disciples' teaching. They found favor with people. And it says in verse 47 of chapter 2, that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In other words, there was great fruitfulness in following the Holy Spirit and the plan of God. And verse 1 of chapter 3, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon for those of you that would like the translation, okay? And it says this, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for what? He asked for alms. He wanted money. Because he's lame, he can't work. So his friends would lay him there every day to beg for alms. Now, I think this is interesting. Now, notice what happens. This is a great story. This is an awesome story. Because this guy, apparently, Jesus must have walked by him before. I just want you to think about that just for a second. But for some reason, the miracle didn't happen at that moment. Because Jesus was at this spot, right? Am I right? Right? And it says he was laid daily at the gate, right? And it says, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. These are men who are full of the Holy Ghost. Now think about this just for a second. They walk into the temple to go pray. And the Holy Spirit hones in on the man who's interrupting them. And it says, I love the way it says that. It says, fixing his eyes on him. Fixing his eyes on him. They were being led by the Holy Spirit at that moment in time. You too can be led of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. When that situation comes up, when even sometimes the annoyance, the interruptions, come on people, you're with me this morning? That those situations come up and you're like, ah, right? But then the Holy Spirit could say, hey, wait. Look, fix your eyes on that situation. Fix your eyes on that person. Put yourself as a Holy Ghost believer, as a New Testament Spirit-filled believer in that situation and see yourself listening to the Holy Ghost. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I only do and say what my Father says and does. If we would be that attuned to the Holy Ghost, then when you walk by that person, God might just use you in that moment for a major miracle. And we see what happens here. It says, Peter and John, about to go in, right? Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us, right? So the man gave this attention, expecting to receive something from them. What's he expecting to receive? He's expecting to receive money, right? That was his natural need that he thought he could fix by just begging. He probably had given up the thought of ever walking again. But notice what Peter said in verse 6. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. What does Peter have? He's got the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. But what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That doesn't sound like the Peter who's saying, no, I don't know him. That doesn't sound like the Peter who is hiding. That doesn't sound like the Peter who sheepishly, you know, when the Lord reveals himself to him, it doesn't sound like that same Peter. This is a transformed Peter. This is a Peter empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is a Peter who now has power from on high, not just the Holy Ghost on the inside. And that's why he can say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. Some people might have said, what's he doing? What's he doing? Are you forcing that man to walk? Don't you know he's lame? Just want you to think a little bit. Just look at what the word says. And immediately his feet and his bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. You know, back when I was a student at Oral Roberts University in college, I remember one day we had two ministers that came. They were well known in full gospel and charismatic circles. They ministered all over the world. It was Charles and Francis Hunter, and they were called the Happy Hunters. And they were an older couple. Back in the 80s, they might have been in their 70s. I don't know. They were an older couple. And they went out, and I remember they did a chapel, and some of the students thought, this just feels like just too circusy. I remember sitting around some students because they were very flamboyant in their approach. But the Lord would use them. And I'll never forget what happened. There was a young man who had juvenile arthritis. He was in a wheelchair. And he was in a wheelchair section. And everybody knew him. I mean, he had friends that would literally wheel him to class. I mean, he was known on campus. This was not something that was manufactured. This was not something that somebody like scammed up. This guy, we went to class with him. He was in a wheelchair and he would wheel himself all over campus. And in the middle of that service, somebody got a word of knowledge. Remember, the Holy Spirit will get you to say things supernaturally, right? He had a word of knowledge. Charles Hunter did, and he said, "There's somebody here who you've not been able to do something." And he wasn't even specific, and he wasn't even looking at the young man. He said, "You haven't been able to do something with part of your body." It was kind of an unclear word. He said, "But you're feeling tingling in your body right now. You're feeling tingling in your body right now. And if that's you, I want you to get up. And I want you to do what you couldn't do before." That young man jumped up out of the wheelchair. And I mean, talk about students going, "Oh, we see now. This is God." And he wheeled his own wheelchair the rest of the day. And I never saw the wheelchair the rest of the semester again. So what am I saying? You can turn your world upside down if you'll just listen. Just listen. Put yourself in this spot. And then when they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, they were filled with wonder and amazement what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Listen, a miracle will open up a door to preach the gospel. A miracle will open up a door to share the gospel every single time. Because miracles can't be explained away. Miracles cannot be explained away. And so, notice this says, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." This guy, Peter, is so bold right now. He's basically telling the same crowd who basically said, "Give us Barabbas." He's telling the same group of people, "Listen, you guys did that. You did that. You threw Jesus under the bus, so to speak, and you took a murderer instead." I mean, talk about boldness. He was not mincing words. And then he ends up going on in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your fathers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Verse 19, I want you to see this. "Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." He said, change your mind about Jesus, so that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Change your mind about who this Jesus is. Change your mind. And he goes on to continue to preach his second message, right? And this is just an amazing, amazing thing that he goes on to preach. And he goes on in verse of chapter 4. He says, there is salvation in no other name than under heaven and earth where men must be saved. I want you to know that many more thousands of people came to know Christ that day. Why? Because a man was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You say, yeah, but that was Peter. He was an apostle. But I want to just challenge you that you, filled with the Holy Ghost, can turn your world upside down. You can have an impact, whether you might think it's small or great. Think about the man who led Billy Graham to the Lord and what kind of reward he has. Think about the man who led Oral Roberts to the Lord. Incidentally, Oral Roberts was healed of tuberculosis when there wasn't a cure for it in the 1930s, and God raised him up to preach healing and salvation to the nations. I want to tell you that whatever God gets a hold of a person that he can just put his Holy Ghost on and they will flow with him, great things happen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, great things happen when you yield to the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, as we start to wind this up today, in Ephesians chapter 5. I believe we've got a recipe. Today's Mother's Day. And, usually mothers are the cooks in the household. And sometimes on Father's Day, like today, I get to cook, right? And there's a recipe that I follow for a particular dish that my wife likes a lot. And it's a South African spice recipe that we use to roast chicken. And it's a very specific recipe. I mean, it's got to be followed pretty specifically in order to get tender, juicy, roasted chicken with a myriad of spices. I mean, you name it, it's in there. And it's in there in different proportions. And I've been making it for years and years. I learned the recipe from my brother-in-law who lived in Africa. And he actually had a guy that he got it from. And so... So it's been passed down. But recipes have a specific amount of things that you put in. I believe that God has a recipe for us to stay full of the Holy Ghost. So in Ephesians chapter 5, there's a recipe that we're going to look at that I want to just challenge us on this day, on Mother's Day, as we think of a particular recipe to being filled with the Holy Spirit, recipe to walking with the Spirit. And if we go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 5, this is a great practical way that you can live out being full of the Holy Spirit in your life this week. You can apply this, and believe me, if you make a commitment to apply this, you're going to have an opportunity not to apply it. That's just kind of the way it works. As soon as you make a commitment to do it, there's going to be somebody who's going to try to get you off of that recipe. All right? So now, look at what it says in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. Now, that's a tall order. But with the Holy Spirit, He empowers us. The grace of God is God's power, His passion, His ability doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. And here it says here, be imitators of God and walk in love. First ingredient, walk in love. Say it out loud. Walk in love. Oh, that's always easier said than done, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, come on now. I see some heads shaking and nodding. That's good, because I'm talking to the right people. Walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. We got some saints in the room, right? So, the second ingredient is something to avoid. And that is, avoid the sins of the flesh and of the mouth. Avoid the sins of the flesh and of the mouth. And if you're unsure what those are, you can just look at what they are. You can look up those words. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, right? It says it shouldn't even be named among us, right? Neither filthiness, verse 4, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. So, number 2 of our recipe for living this Spirit-filled life is to avoid the sins of the flesh and of the mouth. Say mouth.
Mouth.
This is where it's going to get you in trouble, right here. Because you just want to give them a piece of your mind. Smile. We're walking in love. Right? Right? We all have those opportunities. We do. We do. So, avoid the sins of the flesh and of the mouth. And number three in our little recipe that we're putting together for the Spirit-filled life. Notice what it says at the end of verse 4. It says, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So, make sure that you are thankful. That you're thankful. You know, it's amazing to me how many people that you run across that are just so dissatisfied with life. They're just so dissatisfied with everything. I mean, you can have the best job in the world, and they're dissatisfied. You can make all the money, you know, that you thought you could ever make, and they're dissatisfied. You know, you could have the nicest, fanciest car, dissatisfied, right? And there's a dissatisfaction that seems to be just pervasive in our culture right now. A dissatisfaction with everything. And instead, the recipe that combats that, the Spirit-filled life recipe, is to be thankful, right? To be thankful. I've said for years and years and years, thankfulness is the language of faith. You're believing God for great things? Be thankful for what you have, not what you don't have. And listen, I'm talking to me too. You know, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I do it too sometimes. I gotta watch what comes out of my mouth. I gotta start to be more thankful about what I do have and what I do enjoy. The blessings of God that He has given me, I've gotta give my mouth something to praise with, something to be thankful for, something that is of noteworthy praise. And so I just encourage you folks today, this week, make sure that you stay thankful. It's part of that Spirit-filled life. Be thankful. And the fifth thing in our little recipe that we're getting right out of Ephesians chapter 5, I encourage you to go there this week, look it up, look over, meditate on these verses. And notice what it says in verse 5. For as you know that, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of a disobedience. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, avoid associations. Don't look by your actions and talk by your words like the world, aka sons of disobedience. Your speech, your actions, your associations need to be different. That's not saying that you cut people off and you're mean and nasty. Nobody needs an angry Christian. All right? We don't need that. All right? Nobody has time for angry Christians. All right? I'm saying that real stern, right? Nobody has time for angry Christians. Don't be an angry, judgmental Christian. But you don't want to be associated with the wrong crowd. That people just see that you blend right in to everything else that's going on. There's no difference in your lifestyle. So you want to maintain a spirit-filled life, then avoid that association. So avoid that association. Avoid it. Don't make it your best friend. All right? Don't make it your best friend. You say, well, I just want to reach them. That's fine. You can reach them other ways. You don't have to be with them in everything that goes on. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And then, don't have a connection. This is one of the things that the Lord gave me for this. Don't have a connection with words or works, of darkness. Don't have a connection with works of darkness. Don't be connected with it. Right? You can still be polite. You can still even have family members, friends that you're reaching out to and loving on, but you don't want to make a connection to the point that you're connecting with works of darkness. And then, in this recipe, we want you to look at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those three things. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, turn on the light and allow the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth be who you are. Let that come out of you. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That means that you should be known to be a person of your word. You should be a person of truth, right? So, again, this is how you stay full. Now, notice what happens, that you need to, it just goes right into the next section. In verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So essentially, that word circumspectly means to look around and see what's going on. Be aware. Be aware of what's happening in your life, in your world, and who God brings into your life. Is this somebody I need to talk to? Is this somebody I need to talk to? And just begin to look at those opportunities. This week, I had to get my car worked on. And these two wonderful, wonderful guys came. And they worked on my car in my driveway. And they were having trouble. And they knew I was a pastor. They were having trouble getting one of my tires off. A piece. Not the tire, but the actual wheel bearing needed to come off the car. And so... One of the lead gentlemen, mechanic, he said, Pastor, I need you to come over here and pray because I can't get this off. I mean, he is pounding on my wheel because it was all rusty, and he's pounding. And I had been kind of just being light, kind of sharing and just kind of, hey, how are you doing? Just being encouragement, right? Because we're an encouraging church. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to encourage these guys while they're working on my car. And it was, hey, do you need a bottle of water? I mean, I just was, just being encouraging. And now I'm paying them to do a job. But I was being encouraging. And you can do that, right? You can do that with the clerk at the store. You can do that with the coworker. You can do that with the person that you've hired to do a job. You can do that. You can be encouraging. And so I just said, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, well, hold this. So I'm helping him. I'm holding the wheel, and he takes his big sledgehammer, and he says, Pastor, you need to pray. I said, okay. I said, in the name of Jesus, wheel be loosed. I did. And the next hit on the hammer, that thing just released. And he looked at me, he goes, Pastor, good job. I said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord, right? So what are we doing? We're being light. We're aware. God, do you want me to talk to this one? Being aware. Walk circumspectly. Redeem the time. This is a recipe for a spirit-filled life. Walk circumspectly. Redeem the time, because what? The days are evil. The days are evil. If they were evil back then, they're evil now. Right? All right. So, this is where we want to come to, right here. And then he says this. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who already, at some point in their Christian life, got filled with the Spirit. But he's telling them, be filled with the Spirit. This recipe that literally takes us and gives us practical ways that we can live out this Spirit-filled life and turn our world upside down. You say, Pastor, I got filled with the Holy Spirit 30 years ago and I spoke with other tongues. Awesome. But guess what? God wants to refill you and fill you again and fill you again and fill you again. I'm going to illustrate this point and then I'm going to close this message. God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. That means filled to overflowing. Now, water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We saw in John chapter 7 that Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Now, most of the time, we get filled with the Spirit. That means we get so full of God, we don't feel like we could have another bit of God go inside of us. If you've ever been in an amazing service where the Holy Spirit is moving and things are happening, that might be how you felt. But you see, God's design is that we continue to be full of the Holy Spirit, because that's how we are going to impact the world. That's how you're going to make a difference wherever you are. Now, the problem for most of us, in fact, I'm not so sure it's a problem, but we are like this cup. We're not so much like the pitcher. We're like this cup. Now, the cup, Pastor Christine, I'm going to ask your help, please. I'm going to come over here. The cup represents us. And if you'll notice something about this cup, it leaks. That's not a flaw in us as much as a design. God desires us to leak out to the world around us. Because that water, like when he met the woman at the well, if any man thirst, let him come and drink of the water that never runs dry. On the final day of the feast, Jesus actually took a pitcher of water and he poured it ceremonially. And he said that out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. God's design for you and me, and according to Ephesians chapter 5, we are supposed to be being filled. Not just filled. You can put that down. Thank you. We are supposed to leak out. The word there in the Greek language, when it says, be full of the Holy Spirit, it says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because you lose control. And going back to the previous verses, what's wrong with that? You just look like everybody else. Right? But, he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was asking the Lord some questions about our church. I said, Lord, we've got a good word. We've got a wonderful community. We got people that love each other. We got diversity. We got all it. We're just a wonderful little church. And the Lord, and I said, but Lord, I know you want more for us. And you know what God said to me? He said, and I'm going to say it the way he said it to me. It was late last night. He said, they're not drinking enough. And I was like, what? He said, they're not drinking enough. They're not drinking enough of my Holy Spirit to pour out on their world and community. They're not drinking enough. When we leak, God wants to refill us. We are supposed to leak. It's not a flaw. It's not an accident. That's why we see in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. We see it again in Acts chapter 4. We see it again several times over in the book of Acts, and they were filled and began to speak with other tongues. And they were filled and began to speak with other tongues and glorified God. And they were filled and they began to speak with other tongues and they were filled with the Spirit. If you go through the book of Acts and you see how many times they were filled, then they refilled. The same guys are there. And in some cases, it's years after the day of Pentecost. We don't have time to get into that. But what we want to do right now is I want to ask you the question, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for more of God? I believe that if we would get so thirsty that we are parched and we say, God, fill me again, afresh and anew. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God. If it's been years since you prayed in other tongues, I'm going to just challenge you this morning, pray in other tongues. You say, you mean I can do that? At will. Yes, you can. It's not the Holy Spirit grabbing your tongue and making you speak in tongues. It is an unction from the in, from down on the inside. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can be filled. You can be filled with power from on high, and God will give you that ability. Every place in the New Testament where it speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit, there is always either an inference or a direct reference to speaking with other tongues. And so right now I'd like us to stand to our feet, and I'd like us just to begin to glorify and magnify God. And I'd like you to just draw from that deep well on the inside and begin to just stir yourself up. If it's quiet, that's fine. But I want us just to pray in the Holy Spirit right now. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, right where you are, we don't have to make this a big fanfare. Right where you are, the Holy Ghost will meet you. And he will fill you. My sister got filled at our house on 737 Bowie Road, North Palm Beach, Florida, when nobody was home. She just asked the Lord, fill her. She was tired of arguing with God, because she was trying to explain it all away, that she didn't need to speak in other tongues. And finally, she just said, okay, God, if it's really of you, I want it. And I want you to fill me with power on high. So let's just do that right now. Let's just begin to glorify God. You can start in English, because if that's where your comfort level is, or whatever known language you have, and begin to just pray, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We magnify your name, Lord. We are thirsty for you, God. God, we thank you that you said that you would fill us, and that if we asked for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give it, and that you wouldn't withhold it, and you wouldn't give us a snake or a scorpion, but Father God, that you would give us this promise that empowers us to live this Christian life. Lord, that we would be filled to overflowing. God, that you would manifest yourself. Father, that you would fill us. Fill us. And we stir up the gift of God on the inside. And we thank you, Father God, that as we are full of the Holy Spirit, as we are full of Father, that you are manifesting your great grace to us as a church. We thank you, Father God, that as we drink of your Spirit, Lord, that you will pour it out through signs, wonders, miracles, Father, boldness to speak, to turn our world upside down, Father, that we would be full of the Holy Ghost. And Father, whatever hindrances that are in our lives, if there are habits, if there are decisions, if there are things that we have been feeding upon that are not true, Father, that you would help us to focus back on your word, back on truth and righteousness, back on those things, Father God, and goodness, righteousness, and truth. Father, that as we focus back on those things and we stir up the gift of God on the inside, you will use us to turn our world upside down. You will use us to turn our family situations upside down, Father, because you know in God, you know that you've given us in your word, Father God, the power to be able to make changes, and Lord, to bring the power of God into our families, into our homes, into those situations, to speak to mountains and to see them removed. Hallelujah. Father God, that there will be signs, wonders, and miracles that will occur as we spill out on the world, and that as we are being filled and continually filled and continually filled and continually filled, baptize this whole church, Father, with your Holy Spirit. That, Father, that the boldness of God would rise up, Father, regardless of our age, stage, economic, or cultural background, Father, that your boldness would rise up inside of us, and we would be like Peter and John, seeing the man lame at the gate beautiful, and say, what I have, I give you. And Father, I thank you that there will be miracles. There will be signs. There will be situations where truth comes in, and the darkness is dispelled. Deception is dispelled. Father, I thank you for that great peace. I thank you, Father God, for ministering great grace. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the thirst of your people, Father God, that they would be filled to overflowing, continually filled, that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water, a never-ending supply of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would minister that great grace and power to your people this morning. We thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Do you receive that right now? Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Just wave your hand at me and say, I receive that. I receive that. Say, I'm going to walk in it this week. I'm going to walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If there be anybody that you say, you know, I've never spoken in tongues and I know that today's my day, as soon as we close the service, I'm going to be available down front here and we're going to pray for you and you're going to get a release in your prayer language. You're going to get a release so that you can pray with power from on high. Amen. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to give an opportunity for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus. Being born again, obviously, that is the most important thing, to be born again, to be saved by the power of God. And so right now, if you're either watching online or you're here in this place and you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you want to recommit your life to Him, I want you just to slip up your hand. If you're online, I want you just to go ahead and message us, say, that's me, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith right now to see you come back to the Lord, to see you come to know the Lord in a new and powerful way. We're all going to pray this simple prayer out loud together. Say, Father God, I come before you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus is who He said He is. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. I receive His forgiveness and I receive His Spirit to live in me and to empower me in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise God and just confess Him as your Lord and Savior from this day forth. And God says, you will be saved. Amen. Praise God. Our sending out verse is as follows. Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says it this way. We're all going to repeat after me. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth. And even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. You're dismissed, and we will see you on Wednesday and then next Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for watching.